Hi, this is Jacob Edwards, and I'm interviewing Trisha Edwards for my ENT 645 class to get a better understanding of marketing. Mrs. Edwards, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Please call me Trisha.
Thank you, Trisha. Could you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into marketing?
Sure. I am an architect and designer by training. After completing my bachelor's in architectural design, I worked for multiple firms in Charleston, South Carolina. I was a contractor at the time, and this was a point when AutoCAD was just becoming a standard with architecture firms. And I had tons of AutoCAD experience from school, and so I worked for a lot of different firms setting up their AutoCAD systems, staying on and working as a project manager, and generally leaving after the bid process was done. So I kind of came into marketing sideways because I had a ton of design experience and a ton of computer experience. And I was never able to get a permanent position with an architecture firm while I was down in Charleston. So when I went back to school to expand my skills, I was going to get another degree in urban planning and landscape design. I realized at the time that it wasn't really going to get me placed with an architecture firm, and decided to switch to a business focus. So how did I get into the marketing field? I was looking for a job while I was in grad school, and I had consulted with the Pensacola News Journal on several projects before I became a full-time employee, and using my computer skills, helping them set up their website at the time, which is one of the first websites for Gannett. It was called Gulf Coast Gateway, the website back then. So when a marketing position became open, and it was very flexible with a lot of daytime and nighttime brick and mortar graduate school classes, they took me on, and I worked in what was called the market development department.
So I know a lot goes into a marketing plan. Could you outline the process you take before you launch a new marketing campaign?
Sure. So, yes, a lot does go into the marketing plan. A lot goes into the marketing plan before you actually put the marketing plan together. It's really important that you understand your business goals, whether or not you are a Fortune 500 company or you're an entrepreneur that's just starting out. You do need to have a very solid business plan, and that business plan will shape exactly what your marketing plan is going to be. So you need to understand what it takes to produce and sell and distribute your product. You need to know what those fixed costs are and what the variable costs are. You need to know your product life cycle. You need to understand how pricing models impact your profitability. And really what I'm saying is, even if you're a crafter and you are building benches that you're selling at a craft show, or you're a 3D printer and you're selling, comic related figurines, you need to factor in, okay, I'm printing this from my home and I'm paying power and it's also my time, and it's also the resources that I'm putting behind it, whether it's buying filament or you putting in time in social media promoting your product, the organic time, not just those overhead fees. And once you understand all of that, and you understand who's going to buy your product, these factors really help influence your business plan. Who are you competing with? What are your major competitors doing? Is it your neighbor? are they satisfying one niche and you see an opportunity on the other side of that niche? What's going on in the marketplace? Is there a sudden increase or decrease in the ability to buy your own printer or filament or different kinds of filament? Your customer, it's very difficult, especially when you're first starting out, to understand who they are from a demographic perspective. And I realize a lot of entrepreneurs don't have additional data like Axiom or Prism, where you can append data to an actual address or an email profile. But you can actually get a lot of information from fairly low-cost avenues. Google Surveys is one of them. I think it's like $3 a survey, and you can actually get enough data to extrapolate a whole market study from it to understand who your customer is and why they may be interested in what you're doing. In social media, you can take a look at how users are interacting with your profile, and you can break that down into demographics, affinity interests, things like that. So it might be tough in the beginning, but this is how you collect data that will go into your marketing plan.
So you brought up a couple, without knowing, a couple of assignments that we've worked on. One of them was kind of identifying our ideal client. So the assignment was to usually look at people who've already started with your products, who've already interacted with your business, and see of those which ones, you know, are your highest revenue. Did you have any repeat customers? And if you had those, then what was the similarities behind them? So that's kind of one of the things we did there. Also, you mentioned knowing your marketplace. So another assignment was a positioning analysis and using a grid. So where, what are your competitors like? How can you position yourself so that you're different and unique than them, so that you can charge a premium for your product help retain customers. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of two of the assignments that we've worked on so far.
Yeah, so there's a lot of science and art into it. Once you have all that information, then you develop your strategy. If you decide that if you're going to get into the market in a very specific way, your strategy is going to form. You decide that you're only going to print Star Trek figurines, that's your niche, and your strategy is going to develop from that, and then the tactics kind of fall in place. Then you understand that you have to be at every cosplay event, you know, within a drivable radius to help launch your business and start promoting your business. You know, that's what I mean by understanding your strategy and then adding the tactics to it that flesh out the actual marketing plan.
So what do you think some of the biggest challenges that marketers face today is?
Gosh, there's so many. I think for larger companies, one of the biggest challenges is marketers, and marketing is viewed as a cost center. The biggest example that I think I mentioned to you before is that Uber just laid off 400 of their 1,200 marketing staff. And that is a very predictable move. When you have shareholders and you're not making your revenue goals, you need to cut expenses. And the first place that is cut is usually the fattest budgets. And marketing is always, you know, one of the fattest budgets that can be cut. And that's because it's viewed as a cost center rather than a profit center. But that, you know, in the end, and this is why it's very important when you're putting your marketing plan together to have KPIs so that you can present to the shareholders, you know, what each dollar is doing in terms of market development or marketing and leading to actual sales and conversions. You know, when you can present that, whether it's going to be payroll costs or infrastructure costs for the marketing research that you're paying for, or the actual ad buys, once you put all that together and you can get an actual return on the investment for your marketing dollars as it relates to the cost of producing and selling the product, because marketing is part of that, you know, then you can be more secure, I think, you know, as a marketer. And so, you know, it is a mistake to cut the marketing staff first, because you can shoot yourself in the foot. But I think another part of it is really not understanding that marketing is a lot more science than art, and not using all the data tools that are available. It's not really just about pretty ads. It's about understanding who your customer is and reaching them at the right place, at the right time, with the right messaging. So
in that, there's a couple things. Our primary textbook is called Duct Tape Marketing, and in that, the author mentions, I forget what the exact example is, or exact example, but he mentions that an advertising budget is kind of one of the last things that entrepreneurs think about. You know, they look at business spaces, and they look at upgrading inventory and any kind of manufacturing process they have, but they always are very hesitant to put money into the marketing process because they don't see a lot of that kind of immediate return or gratification. Whereas in if you buy a new building, you can see the new space, the new lighting. With a marketing budget, you don't see that immediately. So I think it's good that you mention keeping track of with the KPIs, the key performance indicators, and making sure that, you know, you're on track with what you're spending and you're getting a good return on your investment. And in terms of meeting your customers at the right place at the right time, one of our things that we've done is create a two-step direct response tool. So if you, I did not have time to look up Gannett's example again on their webpage, but if for my 3D printing business, we could run an ad on Facebook that to get a user's information would say things like, get your free print here, or enter this monthly contest, and then they would get to our website and they would enter their information, and that would be a kind of that's the second step at that point, is that they would be entered into our contest, and we now have their contact information where we can respond to them with a hopefully an opt-in process for later monthly communications or special occasions and stuff like that. So
that's a very tried and true process. That's called filling your funnel. That activity is called lead generation. Mm-hmm. And that would be one of the first places that I would start, especially with what you're doing, is being able to attract customers with some sort of offer or giveaway, but then to re-engage with them and remarket to them with additional content so you can build that relationship, so that when they're ready to buy, and you'll understand that through the consumer signals that you're putting into place, whether it's in Facebook or Google Display or Google Search, you know, there's so many different ways you can reach these customers, especially in the kind of business that you're going to be in, because you have a digital audience, you really, really do. So it's just really a matter of finding the most cost-effective first step, whether it's going to be Facebook or a Google Display or a combination of the two. To convert them into paying customers. But that's called a consumer journey. And, you know, I'm going to say that it doesn't just end when they buy your product, because you have to keep them and you want to remarket to them. That's not a one-off person, or it shouldn't be a one-off person. This person should come back to you time and time again. So, you know, the relationship doesn't end when they first buy your product one time. That's a very expensive way of doing business. You want them to come back again and again. Right. So you need to invest dollars in your retention as well.
So we've mentioned Google surveys and Google Display and Facebook ads, as well as the filling your funnel and two-step direct response tool. Mm-hmm. Could you also, are there any other specific tools and techniques that you could recommend to someone starting off a business for marketing, or marketing tools?
There are so many. I gave you a long list, and I think one of the better resources, especially for small businesses and entrepreneurs who don't have a lot of access to academic programs like yours, is a series of digital transformation classes. The classes are literally called digital transformation. And they really talk through the steps of understanding your customer, how to reach them, interpreting signals. And Google has all of these free tools to help you interpret and understand that data, to fill your funnel and then convert them. Add Espresso, HubSpot, Salesforce Trailblazer, Facebook Blueprint. These are all very specific services. Facebook Blueprint, I highly recommend before you do any paid Facebook advertising to go through the basic Facebook Blueprint class, because Facebook does spend an awful lot of time talking about just how you can manage your page and generate leads without a whole lot of investment through just organic promotion, but then how best to set up your website to integrate with Facebook using conversion tracking and pixels and things like that, so that you really are able to use bona fide KPIs to understand purchase funnels and how big your audiences are going to be. AdEspresso is an ad management service. It offers integration for multiple platforms. So if you happen to hang out in Twitter and in Snapchat and in Facebook, and you want to make sure that your messaging is unique and consistent among all of them, AdEspresso can help you manage your promotions. Salesforce is probably cost prohibitive for an entrepreneur, but you can kind of duct tape a lot of these products together using something that's called Facebook attribution, which will allow you to track your other campaigns in Facebook. For example, if you have a Google search or a Google display campaign running with the right tracking in place, either using pixels or UTM query, you are able to understand whether or not you're reaching that person, that same person in Google and also in Facebook and also in Twitter. So you know where they are in their process, in their customer journey. MailChimp, they have a free level of service that integrates with Google and Facebook. You can also set up APIs to gather leads that you maybe generated from a Facebook lead form that will go directly into your MailChimp account, so that you can auto-trigger a, hey, thank you for entering that contest. Check out my website and see these things that may interest you. So you can immediately take that touch point and get them back on your website to start building that relationship. Hootsuite is also great for managing paid and social push. Yeah, it's basically a one-stop shop. You can do Twitter and Facebook and write one post one time and it can just be funneled out. Deliverate also offers that.
You don't have to list everything. Okay. We'll include the transcript with the audio. I think that covers our other question about how you include the tools and techniques with the marketing plans. I know you've talked about mistakes businesses make concerning marketers and their worthiness, but what mistakes do you think that marketers make themselves, and how can they avoid those mistakes?
How can you avoid mistakes?
Their biggest mistake. we'll single that down.
Well, I think it really goes back to not with testing. You can. I have in the past worked with really great agencies that come up with brilliant creative, and that's what they do. They are artists and designers and copywriters, and things are gorgeous. But they didn't vet it. They didn't test it. And they didn't take enough time to truly understand who the customer was. So as clever as it might have been to them, it wasn't resonating with the audiences that we wanted. So I think it's not testing and understanding that it's not just how sexy your creative is, it's making sure that it resonates with your audience. You've tested enough to know that it is working, and then you do that big fat media buy. You're ready because you know that through preliminary vetting and testing that it's going to be successful. I've seen a lot of money go to waste because of a very expensive Facebook campaign and a very expensive billable hour agency fee for a great illustration that just fell flat on its butt and didn't do a thing. So
I know from my previous job, using, I think it was not SendGrid, the email platform that we used allowed us to have A/B testing. So out of our list, we had 100,000 designated targets that we could queue up, say 10% of them, and then have that 10% split between two creatives, an A and a B creative. And then we could say for the next 24 hours, send to those that the A and B list, and then whichever one of those performs better, send the rest of that 90,000 targets that creative.
Absolutely.
So that makes sense of, you know, testing your designs first before you fully commit to one of them.
Yeah, and really just working smarter too. I think you could spend a ton of time trying to execute things when there is a lot of automation available, a lot of free automation available, so that you're not overworking yourself, you're taking advantage of the technology that's available to you. Watson Advertising, which is an IBM-owned company, they are very data-driven, and they recently published an article about marketers aren't marketers anymore, they're market techers. And really, it's understanding the technology as much as it is having a brilliant headline and a very creative image. So that's the second mistake, is not using the technology the way you should.
So we've talked kind of about social media through several of these questions. You think that social media is really the end-all be-all marketing medium, or do you believe that there are other essential mediums that could be successful for a business product?
That's a very tricky question because it really depends on where your customers are. I am big into social media because that's where my customers are and that's where I have the most experience, but I think traditional channels like direct mail and telemarketing can be effective. Obama did it. Obama did direct mail in a very artful way to reach millennials of all people. So, it's really a matter of understanding where your customers are and how they're going to interact with you. Social media is important. Is it the end all be all? Well, you have Facebook and you have Google. Those are the two behemoths right now in the digital realm. And they own share of mind. They really, really do. They dominate it. So you're going to have to be in one or the other or both, and you're going to have to figure out how to make them work for just about every business I can think of. But it doesn't mean that you couldn't do a good old-fashioned, every door direct. The post office actually offers a very affordable direct mail program that is that can target an area like at the zip code level, and you can even append certain demographic data. And the cost per piece and the cost per mailing is actually really, really affordable. So would that work? It may not work for your business, but there are some entrepreneurs that are like a restaurant or a takeout restaurant or something like that, where it could be very beneficial. So
makes sense. All right, for our last question. So as part of this course, I have a theoretical business where I've taken my hobby for 3D printing, and we've called it Forged Filament. So theoretically, as I prepare to launch my business, I know that I will need to budget appropriately for marketing initiatives. What are some of the factors that I should take into consideration when creating my marketing budget?
Well, it kind of goes back to that earlier conversation about understanding your business and really understand the actual cost to produce your product and factoring marketing as part of that cost. So, you have KPIs that are ROI, and then you have a KPI that's called ROS. Your product cost $11 to make, and it cost $5 to sell it, and it cost $5 to acquire the customer to whom you sold, you're not making a whole lot of money. That dollar that you've invested, or that dollar in profit is really showing a 10% ROI, even though your ROAS might be 200%. So, that's where the business side of marketing comes in place. Understanding the cost, understanding the lifetime value of your customer, whether or not you're going to remarket to them. All this goes into how much money you're willing to spend on them, on your marketing to get them. So where should you start? I don't have a really good starting place, but if you know how much it costs to produce your product, the real heartfelt cost, that's going to give you a really good direction on how much you can invest to acquire them.
Well, that was a lot of information and some very good information. So I want to thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and go over marketing strategies and marketing tips. Thank you, Tricia.
It was my pleasure.